Okay, this is January 27th, and it's questions and answers, 2014.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as always, it's so nice to see a room filled with gods and goddesses. Now, I hope that that is finally sinking in and that you're saying to yourself during the day, oh, I'm a god or I'm a goddess. When you do that, you can change the reality in front of you. Now, so as soon as you remember that you're a god or a goddess, then you know that you are creative and that you're creating your own experience. And you can create your own experience the way you want it to be. So this month we were talking about small value. And we were saying, don't have a small value about yourself. You have to raise up in consciousness, and you have to raise up in your own opinion of yourself so that you have a bigger, better opinion of yourself and a bigger, better idea of who you are. And that includes reminding yourself constantly that you are a god or a goddess. Now, with that said, these notes are from my friend Beverly. I've known Beverly, I don't know, 25, 30 years. Beverly is now 90 years old. She subscribes to Lazarus, and I think we've talked about Lazarus before. That's Lazarus is a disembodied entity that speaks to a man named Jack Purcell. And this was one of his seminars that he does, and she gets them, I think, over the TV or something, however they do that, Comcast or something, and she takes notes. Now, you'll see some mistakes in it because she's taking these notes, but I think for 90, she's doing pretty good to be able to put this stuff together. So why is this so exciting? Because of the idea. Let us take a moment to experience our light and our substance. Let us take a moment to experience your eagerness, your willingness, and your eagerness to become more. You are in the uncharted of a world becoming new. If you want to change anything, if this world is going to change, we have to start in our own mind and see it differently. One of the things that are happening on this planet right now, and I'm thrilled to watch it unfold, and I hope it will continue, we'll see how long it will last, is the Catholic Church is starting to finally change due to the new Pope. And I think that is wonderful. And one of the things that the Pope said, and he became Man of the Year anyway, I don't know who nominates people, but he was nominated Man of the Year. And one of the things that he said was, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? I bet that's the first time a Pope has ever said that, because, you know, they tell you that the Pope is infallible. And he is allowed to judge, he's allowed to do all this. So there is a new consciousness rising up. And we want to get in with that and see if we can't carry this consciousness even further. Because the world that we're living in now, our minds have created this world. And this world is working to a point. And everything that we have in this world, the monetary system, all the things are man-made, and they can be changed at any time. It's all done with agreement. We agree that a dollar is worth this. We agree that this happens or that happens. We're always in agreement. When we get out of agreement, we can change the world. The way the world is working at the present moment, it's been working that way for hundreds of years. And we can see the little glitches and so forth in it. So we have to know that we can think differently. See, we all do that. How many times have you heard in your lifetime a president, and our president who is in office right now, Obama, what did he say? He ran on a thing of change. Has anything changed? Everyone wants to go to Washington and change Washington. You cannot do it. And he cannot do it. There'll be no change in Washington till everyone comes in agreement that something is stinking in Washington and has to be changed. And we have to do that if we want to build a whole new world, a whole new society. So it's done with our thinking. It's done with our mind. So when you have a moment in the day and so forth, think to yourself, how would I like to see this world? What would I like to see different in this world? Would I like to see the welfare system completely gone? Now, when I say the welfare system, I'm only using that as an example. I don't mean that if the welfare system went, that all the people that are using that will go down the tubes or wouldn't, have what they need. See, if we live in an abundant world, everyone should have everything that they need. We shouldn't have welfare. Everything should work, you see. But we don't live in that type of world right now. And we live in a type of world where we put people on higher levels and so forth, and especially rich people. We always think rich people are better, you see. They must be better than we are. Not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. It just means they have a lot of money. That's all. Doesn't make them any better. So if we want to change anything, it has to start with us, inside of us, and we have to see a new world and realize that we can do that. The whole idea, when I went out to UCLA, there, that whole big complex is loaded with sick people of all kinds. You see, it's just loaded with sick people. And we see hospitals, we give money to hospitals, we keep making, if you ever look, hospitals just keep getting bigger. They never get smaller. I remember the Huntington in Pasadena was a wonderful hospital, and it was a good hospital. But now it takes up blocks, it just keeps building. Every time you go by the Huntington, it's building new. The same way UCLA hospital.
Cedars.
They're all building. Because we have on our mind that there are sick people. We have on our mind that there is something called illness. We have in our mind that there's something called cancer. We have all this in our minds, and that's an agreement, people. We agree that those things happen. And then it starts. We buy into it, and we live in it, because it's very convincing. Someday, I hope that I'll be around when we won't have all these illnesses. You see, that we'll be able to do it ourselves, that our consciousness will be able to take care of everything. We can do that. This thing of illness and so forth is not from this thing that we call God. It's from our own consciousness. It's from our own ideas. It's from our own agreement. Because why? Most people think that we're here to suffer in some way, to have some kind of a struggle and so forth. You see? And we're not here to have any struggle whatsoever. We're here to live a wonderful, wonderful life. We're here to express this life of God that's coming through us. Now, I'm not putting down the world. I'm not putting down any of those things. But the world is very convincing, people. And you may not allow yourself to be convinced by the world. And yes, we keep coming up with new and better techniques to take care of illness. We've eradicated illnesses of all types, which is an absolute impossibility, because where did they go? Like polio. Where did polio go? Why did polio no? Why does polio no longer have the oomph that it used to have. Because in our minds, we say it's cured. We say we came up with a vaccine for it. We say we have cured that illness. But where did that illness go? It's in your mind. It's all, everything is in mind. And we fall into it. This thing on my faith, I fell right into that. But I don't punish myself for that. I'm waiting for the day when I'm able to do, not have those things happen to me. But what I'm trying to explain to you, if you want a new world view, it has to start with you. It has to start with your thinking, and you have to start believing, I can do this. The world does not have to have illnesses. It does not have to have starving people. It does not have to have wars and conflicts. We can all live in this world peacefully, and we can all learn to get along peacefully. We have all this strife and stuff going on because people think there's lack and limitation going on. If I have something, you don't have it. Instead of realizing that we can all have everything. We can all have everything. And when we start to keep that on our minds, we will start to change the world. We will start to see the world differently, and when we see the world differently, the world will change. So it's our consciousness that is doing that. Emmett Fox, which we know did the mental equivalent and all that, he believes, you know, that we are responsible for the weather. We're responsible for everything that it's done with our consciousness. So we're doing it. No one is doing it to us. We like to say, oh, it's nature. Well, you have to know that you are nature. You have to know that. So that's what all this is about. And just take it home and read it. I thought it was very interesting. Here, open up to a new dialogue with all aspects of yourself. Key to enchantment is belief. Belief that I am not separate. I am a part of everything. The Philippines, Japan, the Midwest, all are part of me. Living that belief, embrace my belonging. Embrace all aspects of myself. Embrace the child, the adolescent. Have greater compassion for yourself and those I love, and for humankind and human beings. And that's what we have to have. For human beings. All relations. You have to see the relationship between yourself and everything else. And have respect for human beings. Yes, some human beings don't act quite right. But we can't say, oh, that's just the way it is. You see? If we want them to be different, we have to see them differently. Okay. So, take that home, please, read it, use it, utilize it, see if it sinks in and tells you anything. The other reason why I bring this stuff in is because even though Beverly is a metaphysician, she, and so is Lazarus, by the way, this is very metaphysical, but I think maybe it was Lunch at Jury, there's a thread of truth running through everything. A thread of truth running through everything. You just can't throw stuff out. You have to find the truth. You have to find that nugget that's inside of there. You know, it's like panning for gold. You just have to keep panning till you find that nugget. But that nugget is everywhere. And that brings me back to the Catholic Church. For years, I never despised the Catholic Church. But I didn't particularly like them because of all the stuff that they did. So I'll tell you a little cute story about this new pope. He took the name Francis because of Francis of Assisi, because Francis was for the poor people and all. There was some cardinal in Germany that was going to spend, I think it was $42 million. To refurbish his residency, not the church, but his residency. with a bathtub that cost $20,000. The Pope said, no, you are not spending that money. That money can go to help the poor. It can go to help somebody. You can live a modest life. He moved out. The Pope moved out of the papal apartments. He does not live in the papal apartments in the Vatican. He moved out. He lives with other priests and so forth. And a very simple life. To show you, and I love, you know, I've been to St. Peter's. I love St. Peter's. I think it's absolutely beautiful. What a monument of architecture and the artwork and everything that's there. But now it's time. We have enough, don't we? We need to devote ourselves to lifting people up, to lift everyone in the world up, so that we don't have these pockets of poverty anywhere in the world or anywhere in this city or any city. We have enough resources and money to be able to keep this whole thing moving. Now, I'll say one more thing about changing the world and so forth with our government. The government that we're participating in at the present moment. This thing called democracy, by the way, that we live in, is always an experiment. We don't know how long it's going to go, but it's an experiment. There's no way around it. But here we have everyone going on about Obamacare and this care and that care. But the people who are deciding that are not underneath that. They're underneath a whole different program, you see. They get a different health, everything paid for, the congressmen. All those people get everything paid for. I don't know how many of you know this. If you don't, I'll tell it now. If you serve one term in the Congress, you're paid the rest of your life. You're paid the rest of your life.
Do you get retirement?
You get retirement after one term. If you're thrown out after one term, you get it the rest of your life. Now, those little things are disproportionate, and that type of thing has to be changed. We know that. We talk about it, but no one does anything about it. We have to start saying that is not right. Because how can somebody legislate something for the public that they're not involved in themselves? You see, if they have a completely different health care that pays for everything, by the way, 100% paid everything, and they're voting for Obamacare, why do they care? They don't care about the people because they're separate. And this is when a democracy starts to go down. When the representatives no longer represent you. They're representing special interest groups and so forth. And here again, I'm not knocking the government. Don't ever think I'm knocking anything. I'm just pointing these things out. Speak of, we have to be clear about this whole thing.
But I see both sides of it because as a retired teacher, everything is paid for.
Yes.
But I paid for that.
Yes, you did.
I paid into that.
Yeah.
So I don't belong to Obamacare either, that my medical, everything is separate because that's all a part of my retirement. It was a part of my package that I paid for.
Yes.
But the government representatives who only serve one term have not paid for anything.
No, but they didn't at all. Yes.
It isn't fair. And to speak on that, as we speak, they're changing the whole retirement system and everything for teachers. Right now, they're voting on it because so many feel that it is unfair.
Yeah.
Because we are tenured for life.
Yes.
After, when I went through, it was 3 years. Yeah. But now it's 2 years.
And you have a very strong
union
with $85 billion behind you.
Right.
That's why.
And I'm not defending.
No, I'm not defending any of you. I'm just telling you the way. But if we want a different world, we have to see it differently, and we have to stand up and say something. I don't want you losing your benefits. I don't want to lose my benefit. But I would like it all to be more equal with everything. And that's the type of world that we want to start to see. Otherwise, if we don't start to see that, we'll just keep repeating the same world. We'll just the one that we made. You see? So, all right. With that, I'm open for questions. You can ask me any question about.
Okay, I find there's something that I keep repeating, and I'm tired of it. And I keep repeating, seeing or feeling, maybe feeling lack when I don't have lack.
Yes.
And I want to stop that right here and now because I don't have lack, but yet I feel lack and I think I have lack.
Yes. Because you, it's a habit, and you've done it for so long, and you're around people that talk lack and limitation. And you cannot be around people who talk lack and limitation. I don't care. I never talk lack and limitation. I may not even have a dollar in my pocket, but I never tell anyone I don't have a dollar. I do not recognize it. I do not talk about it.
But you see it. You hear it on the news. You actually
yes.
see it with your eyes.
Yes.
You can't hide from it.
Yes. You can't hide from it, but you have to be able to say, there's not a damn word of truth in any of this. Here is the truth that I know, that we live in an abundant world, that money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. And when you catch your mind doing that to you, that's the movements of your mind. You have to learn to control the movements of your mind. We live in that thought atmosphere, and the world is very convincing, and it convinces us that we're in horrible shape. Now, and I immediately refute that when I go up and down Los Angeles, in Los Angeles and Hollywood, they're building more things than you can shake a stick at. Where's all that money coming from, they say? And where are the people going to come from that are going to pay buy those places and do it. So there has to be money, you see. But yes, the world wants to tell you that there's nothing. And then we're going down the tubes that we're doing. And we're not people. So you have to talk to yourself constantly. And you have to deny all those things. It just becomes such a habit. That same thought just keeps coming up.
So. I think about you every time go into a grocery store and see those rows and rows and rows of food and
yes.
precious vegetables and fruit. And I say, what abundance.
Yes. You have to say that. You know, I love to go in. And some of them, I don't even know how to keep that stuff up. It's that high. You know, you take the, from the bottom, the whole thing would fall down. But there's abundance everywhere. And we should all be able to participate in that abundance. And no one here in this world should be starving. No one. There's plenty of food constantly. The problem has never been abundance of things in the world. The problem has always been distribution. They don't know. They have no idea how to distribute that stuff, and when they do distribute it to these places, somebody else gets in there and takes it, and it goes on the black market, and does all, you know, it just gets ridiculous. But we have plenty. We have plenty to feed everybody. The United States, I don't know if it's true, the United States used to be the breadbasket of the world. We could feed the whole world at one time.
How do you think is the best way to get to educate people about some of these habits that the race mind and that we've gotten ourselves into?
You have to educate yourself first. It always starts with you. You have to change your mind, and you have to set an example so that people want to say to you, how do you do that? How does that work for you? I never hear you complain and talk and carry on. You never seem to have a lack of money and so forth. You seem to, and then sit down and explain to them that you've changed your mind about the whole thing.
I have a good question building on that. what I did to get my miracle, and then a couple of people saw it and said, show me how to do it, and started asking questions. And yes, I could, but at the same time, I thought, why should I change what they were doing, or what they are doing? It's like, I don't want them to dismiss what they're doing. Right. They may be Catholic, they may be Jewish, but I don't want to interfere with that. And then say what I'm doing and build on that. That's what I thought I might do.
Well, I think that would be a good idea. Here, set an example for them and say, you know, everyone, you're an individualized expression. Everyone is doing it differently.
Right.
There is no key. That's the way what gets me with these different organizations and these different books that you read. They say, here's the steps. You do it and it's going to happen for you. And it doesn't. Because it happened for that person. You know, what I do, today I had light particles come through to help with this and all, but I don't, you know, people don't have light particles, you know. But I don't say, you know, I do my thing my way, and I try to explain it. You can take bits and pieces, you can do anything, but you have to do your own thing. You're in the church there, and they taught you how to do treatment work. How many people are successful with doing treatment work? Very few.
Very few.
Very few are successful.
But there's a class going on as we speak about...
prosperity? I thought I...
No, not prosperity, it. About manifestation.
Ah, yeah.
Manifesting.
Yeah.
How to manifest.
Yeah.
How to be more successful manifesting.
Okay. It may work. You have to manifest, to do anything, you have to have a belief in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say, I can do this and I can do it my way. Because I know that I am one with this thing called God. And I know that God is working in me, as me, and through me, right here and right now. And everything is working in divine right order. In defined right order. What that means for me and what it means for you could be entirely two different things. But it can be done. It can be done because this thing called God never shows favorites. If I can do something, you can do it. But you have to do it in your own way. You have to do it in your own way. I tell that story when I was in ministerial class. The third year students were around a table for some seminar we were doing or something. And I'd ask them questions, and they would start, everything they would start out, well, Kennedy says this, this. Kennedy says this, that. That was the main man at the time. I said, but what do you say? I don't care what he says. You know, in fact, I never listened very hard to him. He was a very good teacher, by the way. He was very good. But you're not a good teacher if somebody says, well, remember I tell you, don't go out here and say Dallas says this, that, and the other thing. Make it your own. Make it your own. Use anything I say, I'm giving it to you. Change it and make it your own. You see? But you cannot sit around a table saying this is cat, and that's what happens in these churches. They want to imitate the minister. So don't, you have to be your own thing. And that's the whole idea this month. Have a better value of yourself. Don't have a small value of yourself.
Something happened in class last week. A practitioner, well, the instructor asked, we go around and she asked, what's going on with you this week? Anything new happening? And this guy who's a practitioner, spoke about walking on rocks. He said that, I don't know how that came about, but we got on the subject, and the instructor said, why do you suppose people can walk on rocks Oh, hard, you know, the burning rocks.
And not ever. Yeah.
And I spoke up and I said, belief. They believe that they're not going to be burned, therefore they're not burned. And this guy spoke up and he had experienced it. And he said, well, prior to walking on the coals, you go through a series of exercises. I guess some are physical and mental. I don't know what he didn't explain what they did. But you go through a whole series of exercises that prepare you for walking on these hot coals. And he said, and no one got burned.
Right.
And I still said to myself, it's because of belief.
It's absolutely belief. You have to believe that you can do it. That we have seen fire burn people all the time, or we think that fire burns. Those charcoals are down, and I forget what they tell you they burn at. I have walked across them myself in bare feet, saying, not looking. I never looked down. I kept straight ahead and walked.
I don't think he looked either.
No, you can't look down because you'll see it and go,
one of the instructors.
And that's the whole idea. Yeah. See, the eyes see that, the mind, ooh. And it becomes reality and very convincing. But the whole time you're walking across them, you're saying to yourself, cool moss. Cool moss. You don't say to yourself, I'm walking across hot coals. Because if you're saying to yourself, you're walking across hot coals, you're going to burn yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's only from the length of this room.
That's a long way.
But you can do that. But that's the power of the mind. That's how your mind, you can do things with your mind. And you don't get blistered or anything, by the way.
That's what he said.
And you have to be very careful because of the crunching. So you hear the crunch. You go, I better keep moving.
You can't stop.
You can't stop now. You better keep moving. And at the end, you have to brush your feet off quickly.
Because they're hot.
That little thing stick to you. But my feet did not burn. But that was done, oh my gosh, 20 more years ago. That first came out with Tony Robbins, something about something into power. He was the first one who did that. But they do that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's your belief system. It's your mind that's causing everything.
Absolutely. Did you do some physical things?
No, not that I remember of. Well, I just remembered we were taught to say cool moss and to think of it differently. You have, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm walking across hot coals, you know, or you're going to burn your feet. We'll do it next time, next week. I'll put a pin in.
Absolutely. I'll be first in line. Rose will be second.
No, but and then because everyone else is doing it, you see them doing it, and you're in that whole atmosphere. Yeah. You see, if one person would have screamed and yelled "burn," the rest of people wouldn't have gone. So they prepare you that way. But that's the only thing I remember of walking. I could feel the heat, I could hear the crunch, but I never looked down. And I kept saying to myself, cool moss, cool moss. So
it worked.
It works. Because that's the power of your mind. I'm telling my mind I'm walking across cool moss. I'm not telling my mind I'm walking across hot coals. So
that's pretty powerful.
It is. Your mind is very powerful, and your mind is that wonderful gift that you have been given, and we have to learn how to use it correctly to bring into our lives what we want. So it's done with the mind. Everything is done with the mind. The world that you're looking at has been created by mind. So you can change the world by changing your mind. Question? Tell me you have a question. No.
So you could say somebody is not very nice or something. You could say that person is always nice.
Yes.
And just believe it in.
Absolutely. I learned that years ago from a lady in Utica, New York. Mrs. Gooch was her name, and she said, Dallas, there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. So look for the good in people. And if you believe that the person, if something's wrong, then that's all you see. If you believe that that person is wonderful, that person will be wonderful. You're doing it. Question? No? Thomas, a question?
Yeah, I was even driving over here, I kept finding myself wondering why I made this terrible mistake and I keep beating myself up for it. But it's weird because right after like 1 minute of doing that, I'll stop it and tell myself that things can work out the way that I want them to work out. And then my mind keeps coming back and says, wow, wait a minute, UK, you remember we are where we are right now because you made that mistake and you made that mistake. And then, like, my wife gets in the car and she says something. And then it gets me back. Oh, no, now she's mad at me. Now I go, because I made the mistake. Then she gets out of the car.
Beating himself up.
And I was like, I got to keep stopping it, right? So I was like, it was like, driving over here was like work.
How do you, think one of the ways that you could stop it immediately.
I mean, I want to stop it forever.
Well, immediately. You want to stop it immediately. But what is one of the things that you could do immediately to stop the whole thing? Stop referring to it as a mistake. You see, you're telling yourself you made a mistake. You did not make a mistake. An event happened, and that's all. It was just an event that happened. You're making something big out of it because everyone around you makes that big. They make, and they want you. Oh, you made a mistake. You didn't do this right. You did everything correctly. It was an event. Now it came into your life to go out of your life. So sit and love yourself. And you used to be doing that all the time. And as soon as you start to love yourself, it goes away.
Say it in the morning. I just forgot to say it the rest of the
day. Yes. Well, especially
in the morning.
You weren't loving yourself when you said I made a mistake. It was just an event. Think of everything in your life as an event. It comes in and goes out. It comes in and goes out. The longer you concentrate on it, the longer it stays.
Constantly changing.
Yes. Don't lament about anything. Everything is doing perfectly. And with your situation, Thomas, I would just say, this will work out to the best of all those concerned. And need that gives it an opening to be able to work out. Don't listen to what other people are saying. Oh, it has to be this way, or that when they tell you that that's the way they look at it, that's the way they look at it. You're not looking at it that way. So don't be convinced by those people.
I have a question. This has to do with work. And I want something. But my mind keeps telling me, oh, it's too big for you. You know, you'll never get in there, and yada, yada, yada. Yet, I want it. So, there's a drive that I want it. And there's also a drive that says, it's too big. How can you have it?
That mind is always going to tell you that. Your mind is always. There isn't anything. I'm sure Oprah and all of them say, oh, this is too big, but they go and do it anyway. You just have to keep doing it. And when that says, tell your mind, listen, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. I want this, and I'm going to get this.
Can I
get
a time limit?
You can always put a time limit.
Or say, now, like when I talk about it, I try to say, because I have it perfect, like it's happening now.
Yes, it's always happening now, and everything is happening now, but it usually takes 21 days for it to develop and 30 days to make it set. That's just a thing. I'm not, that's how the world works with that. And it is happening. The chicken, the egg, is taking 21 days, but it's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's growing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, Jerry? Right?
Well, I just wanted to share that for the past month, you know, we were doing lots of other things, and I missed your class. And got away from doing their morning readings and stuff like that. And boy, it didn't take long before the walls started closing in.
This teaching deteriorates very quickly. It will deteriorate very quickly because the rest of the world is not doing it. So you fall into that pattern, and it. That's when the world gets so convincing. You have to do it every day. And you have to say to yourself every day, I believe this. And it will eventually solidify in you. But it's very nebulous, this teaching. And as I say, I can sit here and prove it wrong all the time. But I prefer to prove it right. Do your daily work. If nothing else, say to yourself, I am one with this thing called God. And God is working in me and as me and through me, and everything is coming to me for my greater good. For my greater good. You just have to keep reminding yourself of that. Because the world's not going to tell you that. Oh my goodness. It tells you all kinds of crazies are going on out there. You know, it's not true. Not true. You have to learn to live in the reality that you want to live in. You know? Remember when I tell you, when people come up to me and complain and go on about this, that, and the other thing, I just look at them and say, thank goodness I don't live in your universe. You know, there's higher levels of consciousness. There are different ways to go through life. That's what this teaching is all about, to teach you a different way to go through life. Now, in the Bible, you've heard so many times, in my Father's house there are many mansions. That means many states of consciousness. You don't have to live in that mansion. You can move up to a different mansion if you want to. It has to do with you. And it has to do with your mind. It does not have to do with all the things around you. You see? You can't do that. You have to be open to see it differently and to allow it to come to you and allow it to happen for you. And it will. It will.
It's sort of along the same lines. I'm pretty creative. And a lot of that is reactionary. You know, you are creative with playing with things that are around you. But how do you move to a state of being visionary, where you like are creative on another level, creative on a level where you are actually coming up with entire things, packages, or whatever that are
complete?
Yeah.
Well, you're an actor. So when you do a character, aren't you developing something else outside of yourself? I mean, you're taking a portion of yourself, but you're adding to it or subtracting from it, and you're creating a whole new and different individual. We're always creating ourselves, people. We are taught that it's heredity. We're taught that our family did it, that our education. We're doing it to ourselves. You can change your personality any time you want to. But you have to keep working on that, Andy. And that's what's the greatest gift you have.
Imagination?
Yes. You have to constantly use your imagination. So, always see what you want to see, not what's in front of you. I'd scream if I always saw what was in front of me. You have to look beyond it, absolutely. You have to pierce what's in front of you, that reality in front of you, you have to pierce it and go to the next. So, and you can do that. Everyone's capable of doing that. We're just not taught that. You know, what is that old saying? I'll believe it when I see it. You'll see it when you believe it. You have to believe first.
Turn it around.
Yes. You have to believe. So learn to believe in yourself. Don't take yourself as a small person or without any value or any creativity. And we all have creativity and we all have value and we have to keep adding to our value. When you add to your value, then things come to you. More things come to you. If you think, I don't deserve this, or whatever, like your mind says, I want this, but I probably can't have it. You correct that immediately and say, I can have that. And how do you do that? You remind yourself that this thing called God doesn't know the difference between a mouse and an elephant. But people say, oh, I could get a, I can have a mouse because it's small. But an elephant's too big. I can't have the elephant. It's too big. God doesn't know the difference between a mouse and an elephant. Why is that? Because it's all life. It's all life, you see. But our minds, see, evaluate it, don't they? Oh, that's a small thing and that's a big thing. Well, there's no such thing as big and small in the mind of God. Everything is the same. It's our mind that's doing it. So, use your mind correctly, people.
So that's what I was saying when it comes up. I would say there's no difference between big and small.
That's it.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. But your mind wants to say, oh no, that's too big, you can't have that, that's too much, you can't have that, because you heard that as children, or at least I heard that as children, you can't have that much, or put that back. Remember, you took too much candy, put some of that back, that's too much. Why can't I have the whole thing? My cousin, by the way, his children, and they've turned out absolutely splendidly, I love them. If he gave them a bag of candy, they'd sit and eat the whole bag of candy. My mother used to go crazy. You know, if they want to eat it all at once, let them eat it. He never said, oh, save some for tomorrow, or you can't eat that much, or, you know. And they grew up perfectly. But we're taught, weren't you taught as a child, you can't have all that. Now you have to start saying, I can have it all. I can have it all. See, we cannot be puppets to our conditioning, and yet we keep falling right into that trap.
I was watching the Grammys yesterday on those famous people, and sometimes I look at them and say, I wonder if they were taught that they're up there, they have it all, doing what they want to do.
Well, now that again is an appearance. You're saying they have it all. We have no idea. They may go home and take a lot of drugs and knock their head against the wall or something. So you don't know that. So don't judge by those appearances and say, oh, geez, they have everything. They don't. And they may be very sad, very lonely people. You don't know that. So learn to be happy. Learn to enjoy your life, you know. And never compare. Never compare. That's how you get into trouble. As soon as you compare, you get yourself right into trouble. You see? Because we're individuals. You can't compare. to anybody, oh, that one has more than me, this one has, oh, that one's better looking, oh, this is this, that's, you know. You can't do that. That's comparing. God does not compare. Why does God not compare? Same idea. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. It's all God. God, there's nothing to compare to. You see, if everything is God, God can't compare himself or itself or whatever you want to call it to anything else. There's not two gods going, oh, that God's better. Maybe I should, you know, go to one. One. And you're part of that oneness. You are that oneness. So do not compare. Hold yourself always in the highest of esteem. Have a bigger, better value of yourself, not a small value of yourself. As Emmett Fox says, using the mental equivalent or anything, the value you set for yourself is the value that you will have, that the world will set for you, that other people will set for you. And this you can prove to yourself constantly. If you have a value of yourself and you have nice things and so forth, somebody is not going to bring you a piece of junk. But if you have nothing but junk, what are they going to bring you? Junk. Yeah, this is true. So, bigger, better value, and you can all do it. This wonderful world that we live in, this wonderful universe, and this wonderful life that you're having. It's a wonderful treat to have this life. You see? So use it correctly. Love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.